Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right. So we have been talking about freedom. We talked the first week about the word sozo. Everybody say sozo. The word salvation actually has the word sozo in it. So we've been talking about that idea that salvation is not just that you will gonna go to heaven when you die. That's not just salvation. That is part of it, right? And a big part of it. But we talked about that the idea of sozo, you can go back and listen to our first message, but the idea of sozo is that you are made whole. You're made whole. You're not just saved. Like if your view of Christianity is that you were once a sinner and now you're not a sinner and you accepted Jesus and now you're not going to go to hell, and that's your definition of Christianity, you're missing a greater picture of what God wants to do in your life. He wants to bring wholeness. And we talked about prisoners and captives, how the enemy comes, even Christians comes and brings captives and captivates our mind and takes prisoners with addictions and wrong thoughts and ungodly beliefs. And we've talked about all those things. But Jesus came. The prophecy about Jesus was the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Sometimes we rush across these scriptures and we don't slow down. We go, oh yeah, the brokenhearted. Like, it's almost like we look at it and go, brokenhearted, captive, and it says proclaim freedom to the captives and release from darkness to prisoners. We're like, oh, those brokenhearted, captives, prisoners, it's all kind of the same, right? No, it's not the same. Right, there is a thing that people go through in brokenheartedness. And we've talked in depth about how sin in our culture, in our world, has repercussions. It has effects on other people. The things that people do to other people have an effect on those people that they do it to. I gave the example of the teacher who looks out over the and is all frustrated with one of the kids in her class and just in a moment of whatever, foolishness, spits out and says, well, you're just stupid. You'll just never amount to anything, right? And all of a sudden, that child takes that and all of a sudden it creates things on the inside of them. Amen? Like these are real things. A parent who says things in a moment of anger or saying, like sin has consequences, guys. Listen, we are living in a world where the effects of our sin is evident. And the effects of what people have done to other people is atrocious and it's not, and things don't happen in a vacuum. People don't respond in ways just because they're just bent on evil. There's a lot of times it's because of things that they've been through, right? And Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Isn't that good news? So it's not just you get to go to heaven when you die. He wants to proclaim liberty to captives, people who are bound in sin, bound in addiction, bound in wrong, ungodly thoughts. He wants to bring freedom to you. If that's you, he wants to bring freedom to you this morning. He wants to bring a clarity of your mind and so that it'll, I'll get into this in a minute. I gotta quit. So, and we talked last week and we talked about, we talked the week before about how God, the number one thing that you're gonna need if you're gonna walk in the freedom that God's given you, is you're going to have to know the chesed love of God. You're going to have to know that God loves you. This is what we teach our children, right? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Like we teach that to our kids, right? Because the most important thing is that God has this love for you. Listen, that is a chesed love in the, that's Hebrew word, for the love of God in the Old Testament. That idea is that his love for you is loyal love, right? He says in Exodus, when he's introducing himself to Moses, he says, I am the God full of compassion, slow to anger, and abounding in, it's translated like this, steadfast love. And we see that in the story of the Israelites who do good for a while, and then they fail, and they go away from God and serve other idols, but then they come back, and then they serve other God, right? There's this whole, the cycle of people turning away from God. It sounds like you and me. Aren't you glad that there's a thing that God has, that God just doesn't give up, and his love for you is not conditional on how you act, but but his steadfast love. That means it'll be there when you fall. It'll be there when you mess up. It'll be there after you've pushed away from God. God's love is still there waiting. It's the Father standing on the road waiting for the prodigal to come home. Right? He's always there. His steadfast love. And if you don't know, you'll never change. You'll never beat any addiction. You'll never beat any ungodly thought until you know that God loves you no matter what. Amen? And so then we talked about agreements last week that the enemy comes and does lies. The kid in the classroom that we just talked about, all of a sudden they start believing that lie that they're stupid and they'll never amount to anything, right? They start believing that lie. Well, all of a sudden what we call that is an agreement. The devil's come in and you say to a child, yes, a child. Maybe to you as a child. You have that agreement. You make that agreement, and then the enemy takes you captive in that thought, and you never break out of that thought because I'll never amount to anything, or I'm always alone, or I'm not worth anybody's love, right? Or I'm going to protect myself so much that I'm not going to let anybody in to my world, right? When that's not the fullness of what God wants us to walk in. So we've talked about those things. In a matter of review, I just wanted to always share, you know, if you've been around me, you know, I always review because we are forgetful hearers. That's the truth. So this morning, I want to talk about this idea as we continue to say, talk about how do you resist, right? How do you resist these ungodly thoughts? How do you resist these ungodly beliefs that you have about yourself? How do you resist these temptations? And how do you resist these things that the enemy has tried to come and put on you and taken you into captive? How do you do these things? Well, the first way is you know God's love. The second way is you break those agreements. You start making the process of breaking those agreements, right, that you've made with what the enemy has told you. And we replace those with what God wants to tell you. And because last week we said this, because what you believe, and this will lead right into my message this morning, what you believe affects what you think, what you say, and what you do. I'm going to say that ad nauseum until we get it. What you believe will affect what you think, what you say, and what you do. Whether you believe the truth or you believe the lie, it will affect what you think, what you say, and what you do. If you have ungodly beliefs about yourself, if you have insecure, like this, if you're your whole life is you're overcome with insecurity, that belief about who you are is going to affect what you think, what you say, and what you do. It may express itself in different ways, but it will affect it. It will affect how you act, right? So your faith and what you believe is going to. So what we want to do is change what we believe. What we believe. And so there's a scripture, I don't have it written down, but it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. That's amazing. Now think about that in the truth that we've just talked about, how about your brokenness and things in you. Out of your heart flows all the issues of life. Well, if you have a broken heart, if you have things and issues and ungodly beliefs in your heart, right, it's going to affect what you do because it's out of your heart flows all the issues of life. It's amazing, isn't it? So what we want to do is we want to start working on our thinking and the heart is basically the who I am, right? What makes you you, right? And we'll break this down in just a minute. But let's go here. I'm going to teach this portion of scripture this morning. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, I don't usually teach like this, but I want to teach like this morning. They're like, where's all your notes? It's all in the scripture. So Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 13, I'm reading from the CSB. Okay. For you are called to be free. Say, I am called to be free. Brothers and sisters, do not let this freedom be an opportunity for the flesh, but to serve one another through love. That's the goal, right? Is we're supposed to learn how to serve one another in love. Like love should be, when we get squeezed, like love should flow out of us. And if you're not there, then we need some work. Amen? Okay, maybe it's just me. Okay, he says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you'll be consumed by one another. Now watch this. I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Stay there. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Right? So let me just teach this for maybe if you haven't heard. But this idea of my flesh and my spirit, like what is that whole thing? What is that all about? Real quick. I am a spirit being. You are a spirit being. Right? Number one, you are a spirit being. That means when Scripture talks about that when sin revived in me, I died, right? When Adam and Eve fell into sin, God said that you'll eat of it, you'll surely die, right? And the devil came like, you won't die. You won't die. Well, was God right or was he wrong? So they ate of the apple, right? Did they die? Oh, interesting. Interesting response. Did they die? No, then the devil was right. You won't die, then the devil was right. They did die. How did they die? Spiritually dead. With our spirits, watch this. With our spirits, we connect with God. With our spirit, we connect with the spiritual realm. With my flesh, I connect with the spiritual, with the fleshly realm, right? I can catch a football most days. I can beat Mike in volleyball with the power of my flesh. Speak it, brother. Out of your, it'll affect what you think, what you say, and what you do. So out of my flesh, man, I may eat those words, because Mike never forgets. So this idea, like, listen, with my spirit, I contact the spirit world. With my flesh, I contact, I can slap this table. I can give a hug. I can, you know, all this, I can do that with my flesh, right? But also in my flesh has desires, right? My flesh has desires. And then, like, my mind and my will and my emotion, we have a mind that we think, we understand, most of us understand mathematics and we understand we can read and actually part of our soulish realm is worked up in our mind, our will, and our emotions, right? There's all kind of worked up in that same place, right? So what we say is I am a spirit, I have a soul, which is my mind, my will, and my emotions, but I live in a body, my flesh, right? So our job, so he's saying, what he's saying here is this, I say, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So what happened when you got born again was when you got born again, your spirit man became alive again to God. I was once dead in my trespasses, Scripture, right, in Romans. Now I've been made alive in Christ, right? Does that mean you were physically dead? No, your spirit man was dead to God, incapable. Why do people outside the body of Christ don't follow the Spirit of God? Because they're not born again. Let me just say, quit trying to put that on them. The goal is the gospel. The goal is the transformation of the heart, right? So, got quiet. But so, like, seriously, like, we, like, our spirit has become alive to God. That thing in now inside of you that says, I want to serve God. I want to go for God. I want to go for God. And then that other part of you that goes, I want to sleep this morning and not read my Bible. It's this war that rages on the inside of you through your flesh. But the interesting thing is that the Bible tells you what to do with all of those things. It says, by the Spirit, you'll put, another Scripture says, by your Spirit, you'll put to death the deeds of the flesh. By your Spirit. I live out of my spirit man, right? And then it says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind according to the word, right? So our minds are renewed. So we have to do something with our mind, and we have to do with something with our flesh and the desires of our flesh. We have to, right? So that's why he says, and now, since we are born again, the Spirit of God comes and lives on the inside of us. It's almost like he's rooting us up. Where do we get that encouragement? Where do we get that counseling like Jessica was talking about? It's by my Spirit, by the Holy Spirit inside me, right? When he talks about praying in tongues, he says, my Spirit, by the Holy Spirit prays, right? So it's by my Spirit. You are born again, amen? And you have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. Then it says, if I walk by the Spirit, you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. It says this, for the flesh desires what's against the Spirit. Life making a little bit more sense? And the Spirit what desires what's against the flesh. These are opposed to each other so that you don't do what you want. Right? So here's the problem. Here's the problem, Paul. Paul's laying out the problem. Here's the deal. Your spirit man's alive to God. Your flesh man still wants to do what it always wanted to do, right? And so you're working out your salvation with fear and trembling. You're working that out in you. He says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now watch this. It's about to get really revealing in here. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Should be. Sexual immorality, which is basically anything outside of a husband and wife marital bed. Moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry. Idolatry is a work of the flesh? Yep. Sorcery, hatreds. I know he's starting to get messed with us. Strife, jealousy. I'm just letting some of these land where they need to land. Outbursts of anger. Selfish ambitions. Dissensions. Causing divisions. Factions. Factions are simply just breaking up in groups of this group and then that group. That doesn't happen in the church, does it? That's a work of the flesh. Envy. Drunkenness. Carousing. And anything similar. He just goes ahead and covers it. And anything else is similar to all these other things. Right? I'm warning you about these things that I warned you before. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's this expectation of believers that we are supposed to live out of our spirit and we're not to live out of the works of our flesh. I'm about to go old school preaching because this is what they used to preach back in the day, right? Because all of these things, watch this, represent bondage to people, to the people of God. All of these works of the flesh can represent bondage, captivity, false beliefs. They can be birthed out of ungodly beliefs. You don't think jealousy is birthed out of an ungodly belief about who you are? If you're secure in who you are and you believe that God has provided everything for you and you're so secure in who you are in Christ, I can rejoice in somebody getting a brand new truck. Right? Am I right? I can rejoice at somebody getting a raise that's bigger than mine. I can rejoice when somebody gets paid more than me. Come on. I can rejoice because, hey, I'm comfortable in who God's made me. I know who I am. I can rejoice in other people's giftings and callings and successes, right? But if I have insecurity, you won't. See, a lot of these things are birthed out of ungodly beliefs. But the fruit of the Spirit, remember, he's talking about, what is he talking about? He's talking about walking by the Spirit and walking by the flesh.
right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Okay, let me back up. Before I read this, because a lot of you can just go, love, peace, joy, you just rattle them off. Just quit it. Let's read it this morning. For what? Listen, these are attributes that are supposed to be in you and me. They're attributes that are supposed to be in you and me. So if we don't, we need to pray, God, move. Say whatever you want to say. Move however you want to move. Change whatever you need to change. Amen? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. I'm saying it slow so we can have patience. Patience. Like your question right now is, how is my patience meter? How is my love meter? How is my joy meter? Right? Kindness. I'm thinking of random social media posts. Goodness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. And watch this. Self-control. Self-control. Well, that's just who I am. I just get angry. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Nope. That's it. Nope. The law is not against these things, but those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step by the Spirit. Listen, if you and I want to walk in freedom, and you and I want to we want to push aside those ungodly beliefs, we have got to be people who live by the Spirit of God. And we'll see that in a minute as we move on down. Let's move down to actually the next chapter in verse 7, still talking about the same idea. He says, do not be deceived in verse 7, for God cannot be mocked. If a man reaps what he sows, for whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. But whoever sows to reap from the Spirit reap eternal life, Zoe life, right? Let us not become weary in doing good, for in the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. If we don't give up, right? So what is he saying? He's saying, listen, if you all you do, we're gonna meddle. Because I want you to walk in freedom. I want to walk in freedom. If all you do all week is give in to your fleshly thinking, and all you do is you sow to your fleshly mental thinking, and don't back it up with the Word of God, if that's all you do all week, God says this about us. He says, don't mock me. Don't think that you're going to walk in freedom if all you do is sow to your flesh. If all you do is sow to your flesh, don't think you're going to walk in freedom. That's what he says. He's not talking about, there's other sowing and reaping, financial sowing. This is not what he's talking about here. He's talking about sowing to your flesh. So if you think about the world in which Paul lived at that time, he's living in the Roman culture, right? He's living in this the Rome is all over. It's the Roman Empire. And if you've watched anything that has to do on Netflix about Roman culture, you know what Roman culture was all about. It was all about sexual immorality. It was all about promiscuity. It was all about all the other stuff, right? But Paul has this idea, says not like, but that can't be us. Another place Paul says, he says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, right? How do you do that? What I choose to feed on is not just all of the stuff of our culture and our world. I don't know if you know this or not, but our culture and our world are wrong. Their value system is wrong. And if we choose and we receive, like, listen, if you're having, if you're having marriage problems, don't go to the unsaved person that's having marriage problems too and try to figure out how to have good, better marriage. What should you do? I want to have a better marriage. Let me go to the Word of God because culture's crazy, and look at the Word of God and says, how am I as a husband supposed to treat my wife? How am I as a husband supposed to operate in my home? It's all in the Word. So if I feed on that, if I feed on the idea that I love my wife as Christ loved the church and lay my life down for her, I serve her. The Bible's full of misogyny and man, well, it's garbage. God is calling men to serve their wives as Jesus laid his life down for the church. Love their wives. Honor their wives. I want my wife to just exceed beyond me. Because I love my wife. I honor my wife. I want her to, she can be more gifted than me. And probably she is. Don't amen. That's what I want for her, right? It's, don't look to the culture to decide how a husband's supposed to treat their wives. Don't look at culture and ask men. Don't look at the culture and see how men are supposed to act. Most men are acting foolish. They use that God has put in us strength as men. But do we use that strength to be strong and or do we use that strength to serve other people and love other people and build up other people? Right? Strength. So, it went way. But like, so what? My point is this. What are you feeding? What are you feeding? What are you feeding in your life? Listen, we always say, what you should do, you need to read your Bible. Back in the day, what you need to do is read your Bible, pray, and hang out with other believers. Right? Every one of those things are absolutely the truth. But they're not the truth like you used to were taught. They're the truth because you need to feed on the truth. Because if you don't, there's ungodly beliefs out there that'll try to take you down a path that God doesn't want you to go. And if you feed on all of these things, if you feed on all of these, we read all of these fantasy, like how the world's supposed to be, right? You see, we see these pictures of these weddings, and oh, it's so beautiful. And we see these movies about how the relationship's just, it's always romance. It's always beautiful. We're all adults. It's all just all great sex and happiness and marriages. That's an ungodly belief. Listen, this is real life. And you understand, if you feed on that, your expectations for your husband or your wife, you see what I'm saying? Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Amen? It's real in here this morning. I don't know if you knew that. But listen, if we want to walk in freedom, we have to be people that live out of our spirit. We have to be people that, and this great thing is, like we've been talking about, God will work in you, lead you by the Holy Spirit. Listen, being led by the Holy Spirit is not just, it's ministry stuff. Like, that's what we equivocate. Like, we all of being led by the Spirit, all ministry. Well, I was led by the Spirit to go witness to this person. Well, when were you led by the Spirit to give a bigger tip? When were you led by the Spirit? When were you led by the Spirit to say, hey, I probably shouldn't watch this thing that I'm about to watch? and you were led by the Spirit, and you said, oh, okay, I won't do that? When were you led by the Spirit that says, hey, I have this problem with alcohol, so I probably shouldn't go to this place where I'm always tempted every time I go there? Maybe I should, as I'm led by the Spirit, maybe I'm not going to go there, right? But my flesh is screaming, yeah, go, 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 go. And you're like, no, 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 nope, being led by the Spirit. But if all you do is feed your flesh monster, your poor Spirit of God in you is going, don't go, don't go. And your flesh is like, yes, we will. I will watch whatever I want to watch, right? He says, don't let your freedom allow you to go into sin. Well, I'm free. I can watch whatever I want. I can drink however much I want to drink. Right? So, guys, listen. All I'm saying, I'm telling you, this is not a drinking or non-drinking thing. All I'm saying is, look, when we are led by the Spirit, we are led by the Spirit of God. Believers, we're led by the Spirit of God. We have to be. And all the craziness that's going around with this opinion on this and this opinion on this and that opinion on that, thank God we're a free country. Amen? Amen. God has given us, and I will go down fighting for that one, right? But we are free. Don't force me to do anything I don't want to do. Because listen, at the ultimate, I want to be endeavoring to be led by the Spirit of God, not by led by the spirit of whoever else is talking. Amen? Be led by the Spirit of God. So off of my notes. What am I doing? I'm never going to be led by the Spirit of God. So when you're a person and you start to be led by the Spirit, you know a way to, thank you, Lord. So we talked about how to be led by the flesh, how to feed your flesh. Let's talk about how to feed your spirit. There's different ways. They're not in my notes, so here we go. There's different ways to feed your spirit. The first way is this, is just say yes to Him. When the Spirit prompts you, one of the greatest ways to be led by the Spirit and to have your spirit overcome your flesh desires is to start saying yes to your spirit, man. Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, today lead me. When you wake up in that morning, Holy Spirit, lead me. And Holy Spirit, I want to learn how to follow you better. That's my prayer. That's my honest prayer. And so this is what, God, I asked you to do today. Today, God, ask me to do something. Today. God, ask me to do something today. And depending on where you're at, God, ask me to do something that would be uncomfortable for me. He may go ask you to get on the treadmill. He may go tell you to walk around the block. Amen. Come on. Don't be super spiritual on me. He may ask you to ask Mike Buckley. I'm picking on Mike today. I'm picking on Mike all day. You may ask Mike, teach me how to be a better runner. Teach me how to run. Or maybe, like, whatever. It could be anything. God asked me to do something today. But He may ask you to share your faith with somebody. He may cause you to do something uncomfortable. And that's great. Because the more you're led by your spirit, there's something about it. I can't put it in words. But once you start, it almost becomes this like obsession. That God, just speak to me and I'll do it. Because when I, like, if there's this thing, whenever He speaks to you and you obey, this pleasure of God comes on you. I can't describe it. But like this, God, this pleasure of God comes on you. You go, God, I am right where you want me to be. I'm doing right what you want me to do. And it makes you stronger. What else can you do to feed your spirit? Listen to good Bible teaching. Amen? Good Bible teaching. Not just what your little tickling ear wants to hear, but good Bible teaching. Grow in your understanding of the Word. Grow in your understanding. We have an issue in our culture today because people, let's just level it out. People don't read their Bibles. They don't. Most people don't read their Bibles. The average is somewhere about a verse or two verses a week. is where people are at today. And we wonder why we don't walk by the Spirit. Because we're not feeding our spirit on the Word of God. Right? Like, so this is a problem. Why do Christians... You're like, I can't believe Christians act that way. I can. When you only read your Bible like every other day or every... Not every and every other day. That'd be great. You follow me? Be a person of the Word. Read your Bible. Get to know your Bible. Understand. You're like, I don't understand my... Listen, we live in a country. Let me just be honest. We live in a country where that's not an excuse anymore. You use YouTube to figure out how to fix your car. But you won't use YouTube to better understand your Bible. I double dog dare you to go through, binge watch every... You want to know your Bible? Go binge watch every one of the Bible Project videos. Figure out your Bible. Learn your Bible. Amen? Well, it doesn't make sense. Well, neither did working on your car until you watched a YouTube video. I mean, it's the day where excuses are running out. We're running out of excuses. And then listen, music is powerful. Music is powerful. Music is powerful. I don't like some of the worship music they do here. Well, great, because there's every genre of worship music out there. You want bluegrass, got Christian worship? Google it. It's there. You want operatic worship? It's probably there. Like, find worship for yourself and spend time worshiping God alone, just you and Him. You're like, I love it. When we come in, and Jessica just leads us in worship. Her voice is so pretty. And she goes, and she just leads us in. I love it. God's presence just come. That can happen on your own, in your own bedroom. Amen? Feed yourself. If we're going to look different than the world, we're going to have to do different from the world. That was just from the Spirit. If we want to, how did I say it? If that's when you know it's from the Spirit of God. When you want to look different from the world, you're going to have to do things different from the world. Amen? Tweet that. Okay. All right, let's all stand together. I don't have a dramatic close because my notes are trashed already, so. But is this good? Listen, you'll walk in freedom. You will walk in freedom when you're led by the Spirit of God. You'll walk in fullness of joy. Don't you want joy? Aren't you tired of not having joy? Aren't you tired of not having peace? Like, listen, these things, I'm okay. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let Jessica close and worship because I just got to shut up. Listen, what's supposed to happen as believers is that when the world and situations squeeze us, the fruit of the Spirit come out. And if it's not, believer, if it's not, we have some work to do. We need to get it back up on that potter's wheel and allow God to uncomfortably mold us and say, God, what are the ungodly beliefs that are causing me not to have joy? God, what are the ungodly beliefs that are causing me to go back to that same addiction over and over and over and over again? Can I use a harsh example? Is this okay? You know, we talk about the strong thing like of abortion and all that kind of stuff, right? You know what the answer is? Not laws. It's the heart of people. It's the heart of people. You know, it's not more, we probably need these laws. We probably need some of these laws, right? Harsher drug laws. You know what we need to do? Change the heart of people. But we as Christians, we've done the same thing. We said, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Laws. And what God wants to do is change the heart of His people so that we don't desire the things that we used to desire. That we walk in the freedom because we live by the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? I know that's a rough example. But we don't need more laws. We need more people's hearts changed so that people actually walk out and are transformed into His image. And then it changes, watch this, what we think, what we say, and what we do. Because it comes out of a heart. Because faith is in our heart.